Coffee Break, where Helena comes to talk.
Welcome into Coffee Break. I'm Troy Shockley. Thanks for joining us on this good Friday morning. And we open today with Cara Tangadol. She's our 4-H Youth Development Extension Agent here in Lewis and Clark County. Cara, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
You know, well, we're hanging in there. It's still a little weird. I would prefer to have you hanging in here in the studio, but we got you on the phone.
Yeah, hopefully you can hear me okay.
Yeah, no, we can hear you great. Well, I mean, and it's been a little bit since you've been on the show, but things look a whole lot different today than they did just a couple of months ago.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible how much our programming has changed in extension, and just in the way that we're supporting families and trying to meet the needs of our community. It's just a totally different place out there.
Yeah, well, I mean, and you guys are working at home now, right?
Yeah, we are, because even the fairgrounds is closed at this point. So, our office is closed and we're all working remotely. And, so a lot of things are moved virtually now, which is fun and interesting. And it allows us some good outdoors time, too. Hopefully everybody else is getting outside, too.
Yeah, well, probably not this weekend, though, it sounds like.
No.
Unless you got a snow shovel.
How
tough has it been for you to sort of shift to an online thing? Because this is sort of an on-the-fly thing. Your job so much an in-person talking with people kind of thing, and all of a sudden you can't really do that, at least not in the way that you normally can.
Right. So, yeah, my schedule has completely changed on a personal level, on a professional level. I mean, usually I visit classrooms and talk about like bees and pollinators, or we do hands-on activities with a lot of different kids in one spot, and now that's not really an option. It's been just because I think everybody's schedule has been so disrupted and everybody's had to pivot multiple times. It's been dealing with a lot of feelings and just validating how people feel and letting them know that they're doing a good job and then just offering support where we can. For instance, this next week, I'm going to be doing a webinar through Extension about how to support your kids at home with schooling and how to try to some tips and tricks to balancing, you know, working from home or working elsewhere if you're an essential worker who still has to go to their job, and then how to balance that homeschool life with your kids and how to not go crazy, because a lot of my families I'm talking to are just really overwhelmed with everything going on.
Cara Tangadol is the 4-H Youth Development Extension Agent for Lewis and Clark County, and Extension all about education. And, of course, schools all move to home and online situations, and that's what she's having to do now. It's got to be a mix of sort of frustration and a little bit of excitement, I suppose, being able to find new ways to do things.
Yeah, honestly, the positive outcome I can see from all this is just how much more comfortable our community members are going to be with virtual learning and meetings and just kind of exploring their options. We don't always have to meet in person. And sometimes, I mean, it's obviously, I think we all kind of miss it now, but it's nice when the weather's bad, if you can be able to just hop on a WebEx, and with more people getting comfortable with these options, I think we can ultimately reach more kids and we can be more accessible. And I have some volunteers who have made videos already and they've posted it to our website to teach kids about the animals that they're going to be raising. We had our photography project is going totally virtual, and he's providing a lot of photography challenges for kids to do at home. And I've had folks reach out to me about what sort of things can we just do around the house, like cooking and nutrition and just these hands-on activities. And I think for some families, this has really been beneficial because they have their kids at home and they can be more flexible with their learning and kind of learn more about their children's learning styles and what works best for them. But for some people, it is just stressful and they just really need a break.
Yeah. So, what's the feedback?
It's too extreme.
Yeah. What's the feedback been like for you? I mean, in terms of here, you know, you're doing things differently now. What are you hearing from folks about trying to use these online systems that you're putting out there?
But like I said, we're getting too extreme. So like on one side, people are just like, I just need a break. I'm completely overwhelmed. And then on the other end, we have people who are like, well, I want to do more online options. I want to know what other support I can offer my kids. And I mean, it's not like one is better than the other, but I've just been really surprised that it's seriously just opposite ends of the spectrum and everything in between. So I've been reaching out personally with a lot of people, just seeing how they're doing and how we can support them. And actually, that's been good for me, too, to just pick up the phone and call folks and talk to them for about 10 minutes on how they're doing. And they seem to appreciate it, too. I think everybody just misses that social interaction and being able to share this experience with other people. I think sometimes that's hard because we try to just take it all on ourselves and not put it on anybody else, like we think we're going to bring other people down. But everybody's feeling the same way, really.
Yeah, so, my kid was actually thrilled when I asked her if she wanted to go to the grocery store with me for a couple minutes yesterday, just to get out of the walls of the house and her bedroom and see something different. And she was talking with random strangers. I think she just enjoyed being out. But are you doing a lot of this, Cara, through, is it like Facebook? Is it Zoom, Microsoft Teams, sort of a combination of all of the above?
It's a combination. We just recently voted to purchase Microsoft Teams because that's what a lot of youth in the Helena area utilize. And so we're going to purchase Microsoft Teams and get that set up and start using it year-round now. Like I said, that's one of the positive things coming out of this is we're able to now offer education on, you know, not just in person, but also online. And a lot of my volunteers are more comfortable with that option too, as well as families. So that's really helpful. But we have leaders and extension agents all over Montana doing like Facebook Live. They've been using Zoom to do project meetings, which I know that that's a little contentious now, but Zoom was working for a bit there. And then we use WebEx too. So I have a lot of it more adult meetings using WebEx. Google Classroom's another good resource. I have folks making videos and then using Edpuzzle to add questions to it. So youth can watch the videos whenever they want and then answer the questions. And then the volunteers can review their answers and offer them feedback. So, I mean, ultimately, I think our program is going to come out of this on the other end stronger, but a lot of people are worried about, are we still going to have fair?
And that's what I was going to ask you about. I mean, we had had Kevin Tenney on a little while ago, and they're still obviously hopeful that that's going to go on. But, I mean, that's 4-H Super Bowl. I mean, that's a big deal. So, I mean, is there some kind of deadline that's been set there in terms of when is a decision going to be made?
No, right now, the Montana 4-H Center, they work under the umbrella of Montana State University, since it's our land grant university. So pretty much whatever President Cruzado says, we follow that. And President Cruzado has been following what the governor says. So, what I've been telling everybody is it really just depends on the restrictions that our government puts in place and then how we respond to that. But we've been talking about alternatives to, like, for the livestock sale and the indoor auction, how we could do that online if we need to. And a lot of, you know, that's happening already, so we can just hire out to an auction service to kind of provide that service for us. But the kids won't be able to show like they used to.
Yeah.
So the sale's going to look different, but it's not even just that. It's how many businesses are struggling and if we're going to have the same amount of buyers that we normally do and the same amount of support.
Yeah. So how far out are things canceled right now for you guys? I mean, I think I saw you had a summer camp even that was canceled, right?
Yeah. So we canceled things out to May 10th. Our summer camp is in June, but the place that our venue decided to just close for the summer. And with a lot of the Forest Service venues closing for the summer, too, I mean, we just got really limited in our options. So we decided to cancel. I'll be working with our camp counselors, which are all teens, and see if they want to do like a day camp. But the last time I brought that up, they were not enthused. So we'll see if that changes moving forward. They might be stir crazy by the time we get to the summer.
And I do want to mention there are still a lot of scholarships available, right? You have access to a lot of different scholarships for kids.
Yeah, most of them, the deadline was April 1st. And
Okay.
so I did extend our local scholarships, and they're due today. And so I've reached out to every senior family individually and talked to them about that opportunity. We do have some, there's other scholarships available. We have posted to our website that aren't due until May. But yeah, they're, if you're a 4-H'er, these are all really good opportunities. Or if you're thinking about 4-H, we have great scholarships at the state level. I mean, there's a ton. There's
And
a pile of them available.
yeah, and people can probably find out about a lot of these things, other resources, the things that you're doing. Facebook page, is that the best place to go, Carl?
You know, actually, I would send them to montana4h.org first. They have compiled a whole list of resources of keeping the 4-H connection, but it's even just helpful for families who are homeschooling anyway. Like I said, a lot of these are hands-on activities where your youth can help around the house or around your yard and still learn something in the meantime. So, I mean, even if it's really just a chore, as long as you're reflecting on what they did and trying to make it a learning experience and make it fun, I mean, it's going to be effective.
Kara Tangadol, she is the 4-H Youth Development Extension Agent for Lewis and Clark County. Kara, thank you so much for your time. It's obviously busy, a little bit hectic for you right now, but I appreciate you chatting with us for a few minutes.
Yeah, thank you. It's nice to talk to someone.
Yeah. Well, hopefully here in a couple months we can have you back here in the studio and actually have you physically in the building and we can actually see other people.
Yeah, that'll be amazing.
Thanks so much. I appreciate all the work you're doing.
Yeah, thank you.
Stick around. We've got more Coffee Break coming up right after this. I just wanted to step away from the show for a few seconds to tell you that if you miss an episode, you can always catch up. We're on iTunes, so find our show there or swing by coffeebreak959.podbean.com. Local and area events, city, state, and national officials, your neighbors doing incredible things. We talk to them all on Coffee Break, where Helena comes to talk.
In today's always-on world, your business demands a simpler approach to network security. At Blackfoot Communications, we deliver state-of-the-art security solutions, from the perimeter to endpoint devices and remote data backup, for businesses across Montana. Ensure your company's network is online all the time. For more information, visit goblackfoot.com/security.
Welcome back into Coffee Break. I'm Troy Shockley. Thanks for sticking around with us today. And we're finishing off the show with Robert Worthy. He is the general manager of Sodexo School Services for Helena Public Schools. Robert, thanks for taking a few minutes this morning.
Sure, no problem.
Now, Sodexo, they're the provider of services, of course, for school meals. If we're in a normal spring, this is a normal Good Friday, Robert, can you explain what that operation looks like to get all those meals to all those schools?
Well, on a normal day like today would have been during the school day, we'd be setting up, preparing, already serving breakfast. In fact, breakfast would be done in most schools because school had officially already started. And we would have probably already served, I don't know, about 1,800 kids. And then throughout the day, we start making lunch and start working on, every day we work about almost 4,000 to 5,000 meals.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to ask what that meal count was. That's a big number.
Yeah, every day it adds up, but we have 17 locations out there and plus a main kitchen. So we have 18 kitchens running every day.
Well, how many employees does it take to make all that happen?
Usually run about 65 to 67 employees on any given day.
Okay. Well, it's got to be a pretty intricate dance to pull that off the way it's supposed to, right? It's got to be a little bit of a, you got to stick to the schedule and clockwork type of thing.
Oh, exactly. Working in the schools, there's no time to be even 10 minutes off because it throws the whole day 10 minutes off for all those kids. So everything has to be set to time. I have my delivery drivers hit every school every day because these schools weren't designed to hold more than one day's worth of food a lot of times. So these guys are starting at 3 o'clock in the morning to get food to these sites every day.
Wow. Yeah, that I didn't realize that. I'm sure most of our listeners didn't realize that.
Yeah, we can carry some things over a few days, but for the most part, a lot of these older schools, they don't have the space to hold it.
Right. How long have you been doing this, Robert?
I've been in food service now going on 28 years. Here in Helena, I've been here for 14 years.
Okay. And now I know Sodexo also serves Carroll, right?
That's right.
Okay.
So luckily, it's another program.
Yeah. You don't have to worry about that.
No, I don't.
Well, right now, for the next several weeks, at least, if not to the end of the school year and, you know, right at the front end of June, I guess, we're certainly not in a normal situation. So I guess take us back to the start of the whole school closure period. You know, of course, how important the school meals are to so many kiddos. What was the conversation? What was the process that you went through in trying to make sure that those meals were still available to those kids that needed them?
Well, we adhered to other states around us. Obviously, my company, luckily, we work in almost every state. So we have been in contact with, you know, different people in other states, kind of being prepared what they've been doing, what they started working on, because their problems kind of hit before ours did. So I knew it was probably coming. So we started, you know, getting plans together and started to come up with some kind of a solution. And when Tyler Ream called me that Saturday morning before we shut down school, said, this is what's going to happen. It's like, okay, we'll make it work. And then we kept schools open those first 2 days while everybody's kind of getting all their stuff out, getting their stuff going. And then that next Wednesday, when schools are done, we started serving out in the public. Because we have, you know, there are over, 2,500 kids who qualify for just the free and reduced program alone, let alone the students, their brothers, their sisters, and other things where they weren't going to have meals. So we had to get out there immediately to make sure that people had the opportunity to feed those kids where they may not be able to otherwise.
Robert Worthy is the general manager of Sodexo School Services for Helena Public Schools. He's chatting with us on Coffee Break today. And it sounds like, and you pointed out that since we were sort of in the later wave here, you got a few tips. Were you talking with folks from other places, or how does that work when you're looking at other school districts and other states to sort of figure out what worked, what didn't work? How much help did you get from them?
Well, luckily, like I say, I've got quite a large team that I work with throughout the Pacific Northwest, and so I was able to pull from some of the knowledge they learned, good things and bad things, from places in Seattle, Oregon, things that were that they'd realized that didn't work, did work. Of course, they have a lot of opportunities where here in the in Montana, we had different waivers to the USDA, so we had different rules we could follow until our state was able to get applied for the waivers to change some of the regulations, because I couldn't just go out and start serving wherever I wanted to. That's against the law, or at least I'm not going to get reimbursement for it. Free meals are great, but I have to get some kind of reimbursement because somebody's got to pay for those meals, and the government gives us certain regulations. And then once they changed it for this state to kind of match other states after the waiver was approved through the USDA, then I can open up sites. Like today, I'm opening up two brand new sites.
Yeah. Well, now you're serving meals at multiple locations across the city. What are in those meals? What does that look like? Because this is obviously, you're still providing food services, but they look in many ways completely different than what they did before.
They do. In fact, usually we're used to serving lots of hot meals every single day and then a few cold meals. Well, today, because we sit there, we're trying to make sure that we're not just giving kids sandwiches every day. We're not just giving kids just carrots every day. So my team and I got together. We're, of course, trying to get some of that stuff you want to be able to serve is not as easy either, because some places are shut down. My regular suppliers aren't getting a normal food amount. So we're having to modify every day to figure out to give kids a variety. But every service day, there's always a hot entree for the day. And then, of course, we give away breakfast and lunch, because we're only open Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. But we are giving meals 7 days a week, which is nice. So today, we would give out meals for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So they get one hot entree, and then they get cold breakfast for 3 days, and then cold lunch for 2 days for today. So the kids are actually getting 7 days worth of meals, where usually they're only doing 5 days worth of meals.
Right. Yeah, this is something that certainly takes a lot of time, I would expect. I mean, this is a process. Just that pure fact of putting together more than, you know, you're not serving one meal on a tray, you're putting together multiple meals. How long does that take to put together?
Well, that's kind of nice thing about serving only basically 3 days a week. The day that we're not serving, we're spending the time, you know, just washing fruit all by itself takes you hours, because you're dealing thousands of fruits. And the kitchen that I'm working out of now is the base kitchen here at Helena School District, where it wasn't designed to actually put out meals. It was just designed to prep, hold, and serve out cases of food to send out to schools so they could make them out there. So here we're trying to make the stuff and wash the stuff and cook the stuff, and we just don't have the space for it. So we're like at max capacity, just the logistics of putting together. You know, like today, we prepped 4,000 meals today out of this kitchen that wasn't designed to do that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like you say, the process includes washing, it's prepping, it's also, I guess, getting people and food to locations. I mean, that's another logistic you've got to figure out.
Exactly. In fact, usually we have two drivers that start, let's say, pretty early, and we have one nice high cube truck where we can get things out. And the other one's an older school bus we actually have. It's all we have to work with. So right now I've got two old school buses, a summer food service trailer with a van pulling it, and then I have a high cube truck just trying to get to these different sites so we can keep the food hot or cold, depending on what it is, and set up to serve it and move on to the next site.
We're chatting with Robert Werther. He's the general manager of Sodexo School Services for the Helena Public Schools. And you mentioned it before, but you've got to navigate federal laws here and safety procedures. How complicated is that?
Well, like you mentioned before, federal laws, you have to understand what you can and can't serve, because if you serve someplace you're not allowed to, then you don't get reimbursed for it. I mean, granted, it's great to give food away, but it's hard to, like last month, I hit the largest red number I've ever hit in about 20 years in the negative because I couldn't serve meals that I usually had to serve. And the basic concept of trying to negotiate all this together, it's pretty complicated.
But it sounds like the federal government is sort of, I mean, they certainly have recognized the difficulty and they're working to help make this a little bit easier.
Indeed, they have. In fact, but it's not as simple as the USDA saying, hey, you can do this. Mm-hmm. Then each state has to individually put in a waiver for every single different aspect of what you can and can't do. Like other states were able to do the busing right off the bat. We weren't able to do any of that kind of stuff until just earlier this week. So that opened up for us to be able to serve all the way out in the valley, because we couldn't serve in the valley before based upon the information we had to work with under the current regulations.
Right. Well, and difficult, I suppose, to get even what you need sometimes, since you're not in a, like you said, you're not in a normal location. It's not made for what you're doing. There's got to be instances where normally you'd turn around and it'd be right there, but this morning, it's not.
Correct. In fact, we're having to order things that usually may not have. Like today, I'm giving out sweet peas to kids, which is great, but it's just to wash, you know, 4,000, or well, actually, in this case, it'd be a quarter of that, so it's about 1,000 servings of peas. That took, 3 hours yesterday just to be able to wash it, break them down into small bags so they can be wrapped up and put in these meals. Because you can't just, when the kids are in line, you can't give them a handful of peas. You got to process it, clean it, get it set up, and then get it going from there.
Yeah, this isn't, it's not Halloween. They don't just hold out your bag and you start dropping it in there, huh?
Well, it's close. We tried to set them all up in individual bags, but the bags people were trying to carry or walk away with was so difficult, we ended up breaking down the bins. So it was almost like a trick-or-treat style. But every single one of those items have to be packaged. You just can't give kids a handful of peas. You got to put every single one of those peas into a bag, and then the bag can go into the person's bag as they're walking through it and handing it out to them.
How many, Robert, kids are we serving right now in Helena through, I mean, you mentioned how many on a normal school day, but what are we actually seeing now?
So on Monday when we started serving, we gave away 1,863 meals. On Wednesday, we gave out exactly 2,000 meals. Today, my estimates based upon that, the charts that I'm designing, we're looking at between 4,000 and, 3,500 to 4,000 meals today is what I'm expecting to serve.
Wow. Well, and as Robert mentioned, I mean, it's not a sack lunch. They're not getting milk, a peanut butter sandwich, and a bag of chips. I mean, there's real food in here.
Yeah, fruits, vegetables, fresh. We wash clean every day. Fresh hot food. Like today, we have mini pizzas for kids for the hot entree. So we'll try to utilize and give the kids some kind of normalcy and give them things they can utilize.
Man, I always loved pizza day. That was one of my favorites. I wanted that corner piece though.
Oh, yeah.
We had the square pizza. I always wanted that corner piece.
Yeah, exactly. We have a lot of kids who really enjoy that pizza. In fact, trying to give them things that they're used to, but things that they'll actually eat at home as well. But then you got to keep in mind all those kids who have gluten allergies or casein allergies and other things. We have to be able to meet all those needs as well.
Yeah,
so keeping all that stuff in the back of your mind.
Yes, yeah, so it's so much that you have to figure out. And we've got about 90 seconds left, Robert, and I want to make sure that we point out it is on our website, kcap.com. It's also on the Helena School District website. But you mentioned two new locations. Where are the locations that people can go? I know the times are all different for all of those, so it's probably best for them to find the timing at those locations. But as far as figuring out where they can go that's closest to them to get those meals, where are they at?
Well, the sites we have going right now, starting today, we have Bryan Elementary, Broadwater Elementary, Central Elementary, Ford Georgians Elementary, Warren School, Dollar Tree, the CVS on Montana, 603 North Montana, up there across from Walgreens. Today we're starting the two new sites of Bob's Valley Market And that's actually 10:15 to 11:30. And then Rosser Elementary, we're opening up between 12 and 1. So you're right, all the different times, because we have multiple people trying to get multiple sites to help reduce staffing and problems we may have.
Yeah. Robert Worthy is the general manager of Sodexo School Services for Helena Public Schools. They're working awful hard to get our kids meals when they need them. Is there anything that we can do to help you out?
Just get the word out, and, you know, because we want to serve kids. That's our job. We do it year-round. We want to give kids the opportunity to be able to eat and have nutritious food. So get the word out is all I can tell you.
Yeah. And
that's the best thing we do.
My guess is, Robert, that you are you're fully prepared to go to the end of the year if it indeed comes to that.
In fact, we got the new waivers allow us to go all the way through June 30th doing this exact program. And then after that, we'll start with the summer program on July 1st.
Perfect.
If it's not stopped before then.
Right. Well, once again, if people need to get the times that match up with all those locations, they can do that online, kcap.com. Robert Worthy, the general manager of Sodexo School Services for Helena Public Schools, thanks so much for joining us, and truly appreciate what you're doing for our kids.
Well, thank you.
That's all the time we have. We'll see you back here on Monday. I'm Troy Shockley, and that's it for Coffee Break today. Be sure to check us out on iTunes. Head on over. Give us a review there. That's always much appreciated. Or swing by coffeebreak959.podbean.com. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you back here tomorrow.